Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
To football, penalties, a Hail Mary, missed field goals and interceptions. We had it all on Monday night. You want to hear one here?
Good snap, good hold. Kick is off the upright again.
Was it?
Could you tell?
Good snap, good hold. Kick is...
Yeah, that was a miss. There was a bunch of misses.
That was just weird.
That was I don't think the wind had anything to do with that one.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Big day today, Vince. Big day, maybe.
Is it now?
Maybe. Yes, the people's flag is back. So you know the people's flag. This is the one that's blue, yellow. It depicts the sun rising over Lake Michigan. Some people think it's Milwaukee's flag. However, it's not. It was first created as part of a flag competition years ago. Some do-gooders wanted to create a better flag than the outdated one that we have. Kind of old and meh. And it was created and used but never officially adopted, this new one. So Alderman Berglis decided earlier this year, hey, let's make it official. He put together some paperwork. He went to all the council members and said, hey, can you bring this before your constituents at your convenience, and then we'll vote on it. Well, some council members have been critical. They don't think it's inclusive. Others say the whole city wasn't involved in the creation of it, and it wasn't done bureaucratically like it was supposed to be done. So anyway, last week during a council meeting, it could have passed 8-7. It could have.
If we're going to actually adopt a flag by one vote, that's out of order, guys. Come on. There needs to be consensus here. That's not the people's flag if it passes by one vote.
That's Alderman Bauman, who is against the flag, and he basically said, look, you're going to do this, we're going to pass this on just an 8-7, that doesn't make any sense. Alderman Spiker said, let's get on it, we have other things to do. We have the budget from the mayor to go through.
We really can't devote our full attention to that. We have to also mull this over for a month, tell our constituents when they call me, which they will. What do you mean you're still talking about that?
Indeed.
And then Alderwoman Coggs, she's against the flag as well. And she said, hey, you know what, for those who are all in on this, you're not really.
I know people are tired of talking about this. I know I've talked to many of you. Most of you don't even care, even those of you who support it, if we're honest.
So will it pass today? A month ago, when they couldn't kick it back to committee, they decided to just procedurally delay it. So essentially, yeah, that's what they did. That's a can. But now it's back on the agenda as unfinished items for today.
So it's indeed unfinished.
And it's on the agenda. So what will happen today? Will they take it up? Will they vote on it? Will it pass? Or will it be pushed again another day?
I would suggest this deserves an up or down vote. And maybe it's 8-7, or maybe those who, if you don't like 8-7, then vote no then. Fine, and be done with it. But either way, like, have a definitive end to this conversation then. Don't keep complaining that it keeps coming up, because you have, as the agenda item suggests, unfinished business.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
So if we got to pick on something, and we do because it's our team, Green Bay Packers may have, if not a problem at kicker, at least an open question. The rookie, Braden Narveson, what do you call him?
Nervison.
I like that. Nervison is 12 of 17 in field goal attempts this season. Missed a 44-yarder against the Cardinals on Sunday, which you can hide in a 34-13 boat race. But when your kicker's hitting 71%, that is a concern, head coach Matt LaFleur. Asked by our guy ESPN's Rob Domofsky if he's considering a change at the position.
Considering a move this week at kicker?
I wouldn't say that right now, no.
Okay, he didn't say much, but he did say right now. So at least there's that. Packers do have an option. We have a kicker on the practice squad. This guy, Alex Hale, an Australian native who walked on at Oklahoma State, had a nice college career. Coach, is it worth at least considering giving that guy a shot?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll take it day by day.
Day by day.
I didn't think I was going to need the song again.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Packers welcome the 5-1 Texans, topping the AFC South to Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Penalties, a Hail Mary, missed field goals, interceptions, and a game that had a little bit of everything. Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets fall to the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. The Jets are now 2-4. Troy Aikman on ESPN.
I just think it's going to be really hard on them. Short week now. I could see this totally unraveling.
How delicious. How delicious. Oof. In a game that got a bit chippy at times, the Bucks come from behind to beat the Bulls at Fiserv Forum, 111-107. Giannis getting a T for pushing Josh Giddey early in the game.
In the preseason.
It kind of escalated quickly. Giddey actually looked at him and was like, hey, man, what's wrong? Put his palms up like, dude, you all right?
This is a notch above practice.
So Yanni would play 23 minutes, 23 points, 10 boards. So he's warming up. He should be good to go. Then there's A.J. Johnson. This is the 19-year-old rookie.
A.J. Johnson explodes around his man and finishes with a foul. His first Duarte was no match for
yes. The Yeah, 19-year-old looked pretty good, but then he reminds us that he's just 19-year-olds and just kept shooting and shooting and shooting. He goes 2-for-15, even jacked up one at the end of the game when he could have just held it to end the clock.
So, AJ, now explain to me what was the thinking. I was looking down for a moment, and I didn't even see.
I don't know.
AJ Johnson just let that baby fly. Did he even set his feet? It's almost like he thought the clock was winding down.
Justin Garcia, I don't know. There's like literally 8 seconds left of the game at that point. Coach Zachary.
Even when the refs looked at me, like, what is going on out here? This game should be over right now. You know, so it was funny. We made him explain it in the locker room after the game, so he got the point.
What did he say?
Someone asked him if that was Steph Curry, or did they say Dame Lillard or Luka, would they have taken that shot? And he said, no, they wouldn't have taken the shot. And then he says, yeah, I already know. All right, I already know. So it was pretty good. It's a good way of laughing at a mistake.
19-year-old rookie, man. Super talented. We'll see what happens with that kid. A.J. Johnson just jacking
up shots.
2-for-15. 2-for-15.
Shoot when you're hot. Shoot to get hot, buddy.
And Doc's like, he should have been 2-for-14. No reason to take that shot with 8 seconds to go in the game.
How about a primetime game for the Wisconsin Badgers? Weekend before Halloween, no less, which is already cuckoo time in Madison.
Great. Right?
This week, Saturday, Badgers travel to Evanston. We've got Northwestern for an 11 a.m. kick. But then, Penn State in town, October 26th. That game will be on NBC, a 6:30 kick, an under-the-lights kickoff at Camp Randall. Live, 6:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning. Well, as a kid, if you're at a certain age, you'll remember this. The sort of Halloween equivalent of Candy Cane Lane was in Wauwatosa.
Okay.
You might be a bit young for this, for our area. I think they called it like the spookiest block in the world or the scariest block in the world or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It was like a place. Vandals hit it a number of years ago, and then it kind of went away after that. Like, they tried to keep it going, but it was an attraction. Kind of like Candy Cane Lane.
Awesome.
Like, everybody would go. You drive and you walk around, and
I feel
these
like
plays were amazing.
That's everywhere now.
Well, right. And there are still spots around southeast Wisconsin. Some blocks are spookier than others, if you will. And we bring in friend of the program, founder of Milwaukee with Kids. All righty. Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program, is informing us that Callie, friend of the program, who normally joins us at this moment, is not with us, and it's on our end. Phone don't work. But she's got this list up of homes at MilwaukeeWithKids.com. The list is called 10 Spooky Halloween Displays to Visit in 2024, and it's up there now at the website. So these are people who, in some cases, have done up an entire neighborhood. In other cases, it's an isolated house. It's a here or a there.
This is the one where sometimes there's a sign that says, put it to this frequency on your radio, and you can hear spooky sounds.
There is that. So I'm in Greendale. There's a spot in Franklin where it's a lighthouse, right? And you pull up, and then, like, apparently you sync up the radio. Like, there's a small shortwave. I think it's an FM signal or whatever. And then it's synced up to the music and the lights.
Yeah.
is how that goes. There's that one in Bayview. Let me see if I can pull up the website for Cali. It's ridiculous. It's based on a particular theme. I can't remember. It's like one of those haunted
theme, meaning it's a cemetery or it's pirates or devil of some
pirates
kind.
Pirates or something. Here it is. Where is it? Can't find it. Excellent segment. No, that's the Halloween Village.
Halloween Village.
Oh, Greg got the phones working. Callie, you there?
I'm here. Oh. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened.
No, that's on our end probably. The spot I'm thinking of in Bayview, which house is that?
Oh, okay. There's two. There's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay,
that's the one you're thinking of. Yeah, it's so cool. It looks right out of a storybook, and you can just kind of go and drive by. You can trick-or-treat there on the designated day. But then there's also one nearby called A&J's Halloween House. And they do a different, that's right near there, and they do a different theme every year. And this year is Ancient Aliens. So it's decked out alien style and right near Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, see, now I disagree with that one because aliens are real. No, I'm so let's not make fun of that. No. I wanted to ask you about this, too, because some of these displays are more kid-friendly than others. Like, some of them, like, if you've got little ones, they're actually pretty scary. So I know on your list you sort of get into which ones are sort of more family-friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, one of the ones that actually completely new this year that we have to talk about is very kid-friendly, and it's called Halloween Village. It's in downtown Milwaukee. It's at the Baird Center. They have these community commons, and they have an interactive light display. It's open day and night, very family-friendly, not too spooky. It's just fun. Big 12-foot pumpkin, different whimsical characters, and it's totally new this year, so people should definitely go check that out.
That sounds different. And then you get to see the Baird Center, too, if you haven't seen that up close.
Yeah, definitely. You know, another new thing is the Streets of Old Milwaukee. They've never done this before, but they decked it out for the Halloween, you know, season. And so they took some of their vintage decor and props from their collection and placed them throughout the Streets of Old Milwaukee so you can kind of see how Halloween was celebrated, you know, back in the early 1900s.
Talking with Callie Herbst, MKEWithKids.com. Are there any haunted houses that are okay, like semi-kid friendly? I mean, some of those are, frankly, I wouldn't go. Too scary.
I know. I did find a couple that I would take my kids to that are meant for kids. So not The Hill Has Eyes in Franklin. That one's very scary. But they do a not-so-scary version on Sundays, where kids can trick-or-treat through the route, and they have characters there, but clearly not trying to scare the little kids too badly. And so that's the best I could find in terms of a truly kid-friendly haunted house in the area.
All right, throttled back a little bit. Appreciate it, Callie. Thanks so much. The list is called 10 Spooky Halloween Displays to Visit in 2024. It's up now at MKEWithKids.com. How about the NFC North? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur talks about the best division in football right now. That's Sports at 6:45.
Breaking news this morning from a well-known drugstore, Walgreens, announcing today that it's going to close 1,200 stores within the next 3 years. So by 2027, 1,200 stores will go. Walgreens, according to NBC, has been grappling with pharmacy reimbursement pressure, softer consumer spending, and some challenges related to its push into primary care, among some other issues. Because of that, it says it's going to shut down. It's not going to close all of them immediately. It's going to take a couple of years, and we don't know yet which ones in Wisconsin, if any, would be affected. But 1,200 stores, that's a lot.
I think a lot of factors there. Also, some not mentioned. Increased competition. I mean, for a while, it was Walgreens, and that's true.
Yep. Now you got
maybe
CVS.
You had a local, right, a smaller family-run pharmacy or whatever, but Your big one was Walgreens. Look around here. Like CVS has moved in.
Yeah, CVS
Target
huge
doing
here.
Things. Do they do it with CVS?
Mm.
The Kroger stores now have pharmacies inside.
Good point.
Walmart, other places. So a lot more competition. Plus, you had Walgreens that was a bit overbuilt for a while. It was like becoming the new McDonald's. Yeah. There could be one on this corner and one on that corner.
And there are a lot of them. I think I read that there were more than 8,000 Walgreens across. Yeah, 8,700 locations in the U.S. Now, they have already shut some down, too. Like, there have been some that have been underperforming that they've already cut back on over the last couple of years. But big announcement today.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. What to do about these parking rides?
They're pushing us out, but where do we go? You know?
Unable to find a solution, unable to motivate or even heretofore force people who've been camping and living in Southside Park and Ride lots. Wisconsin Department of Transportation, as you heard in the news, which manages these spots, is now just going to close them to everyone.
I don't know what you guys see out there, but, like, we got a lot of pride here. Like, we got a community here. We have a system that works.
Well, it doesn't seem to work for everyone. Bottom line is, that's not what these lots are for. That's a guy who goes by Goose talking with TMJ4 News. He has been camping at the park and ride lot off the freeway at Holt Avenue in Milwaukee for 3 months. It's there, and then the College Avenue lots where these encampments, the Holt lot, got to be more than a dozen, like little camps. You see the video and things are, if you drive by, it's right there. Campers.
An RV, right?
Right. RVs, full-on community, have cropped up. Efforts to move folks out so far have been unsuccessful. So the DOT announcing that it's going to force people out. And then starting Monday, at least at the Holt Avenue lot, nobody can use it. It's just flat closed. Why can't they just say, you know, I mean, I think a compassionate person looks at this and at least empathizes with some of these folks. Maybe of their own volition or choices, maybe of circumstances beyond their control. But they're saying, we've got no place to go. Many saying they can't afford rent and this is their solution. We're just parked here. Here's the problem. DOT cites calls for service with police and the sheriff's office in Milwaukee at $275 for just a three-month period over the summer. So that averages out to three, four times a day.
Right.
Authorities are being called to these lots. Violence, weapons, assault, theft. Not fair to say it's every one of these people living there. But it's some of them, and it's why people can't live there. These lots are designed for carpoolers, for transit users, and folks don't feel safe leaving their cars there or catching the bus there under these conditions. Sadly, this sort of solves nothing, though. Because if you're someone who likes to use those lots, now you're out, too. So now it serves no one.
So now we just have an empty surface lot?
I guess for the time being, I don't know what the long-term play is. Maybe clear it out, get some separation, and then reopen it in hopes that it doesn't crop up once again.
Has this happened before?
I don't recall this ever.
Aren't you surprised that it hasn't?
Lived here almost my whole life, right?
Aren't you a little surprised that it hasn't happened before? Just given, I mean, you get, it's a nice, easy way to park your car. And if you're in a bit of hard luck and you just park there and you start to hang out a little bit.
There have been spots, I just don't recall having seen it, but for the last several years in the park and ride lots per se. But that is the short-term solution. Those College Avenue lots, there's the one on the west side. That one they're going to close, and then they say they're going to partially close the one on the east side of the freeway as well, as you have a couple of smaller encampments there.
They put you on a list, and you wait forever. So then what do you do in the meantime? So we started our own community.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Eric pointed this out the other day. Packers at 4-2, tied with the Chicago Bears for the worst record in the NFC North. Vikings undefeated. Lions are 4-1. Best division in all of football right now.
There's a lot of good teams in our division right now, so it'll get interesting once we all start playing each other.
And we really haven't had much of that.
Not really.
Packers lost to the Vikings, but that's been the only division matchup so far in the NFC North. So something ultimately will start to give here when we begin to beat up on each other. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur there, and that's about all he wanted to talk about as far as the standings go, going into week 7 of 18.
Right now we got a team that's 5-1 coming into our place, so if we're worried about anything other than the Houston Texans, then we're worried about the wrong thing.
Fair enough. Packers have the aforementioned Texans at Lambeau Field. Sunday is a noon kick.
Got a bit chippy at Fiserv Forum. Bucks come from behind to beat the Bulls, 111-107. Giannis getting a T, also given a flagrant foul. He's just ramping up. This is what he does.
If he weren't our guy, I would be ripping him this morning. Who gets a T and a flagrant in the preseason?
He played 23 Yanni minutes.
Throttle it back.
Right, man. Don't hurt yourself. Jeez. 24 points, 10 boards, so he is good to go. A.J. Johnson, the rookie, was just jacking up all these shots. He's that 19-year-old. It's kind of fun watching him. And then there's Andre Jackson, who's a second-year player, and these guys just, they're still learning the game. It was pretty funny at the end of the game, Justin Garcia.
Back on a 10-miss when Ajax got that offensive rebound, just yelling, hold it.
Hold the ball. Let the time go.
We're done here.
You're trying to be done. To football, penalties, a Hail Mary, missed field goals and interceptions. We had it all on Monday night. You want to hear one here?
Good snap, good hold. Kick is off the upright again.
Was it?
Could you tell? Could you tell?
Good snap, good hold. Kick is.
Yeah, that was a miss. There was a bunch of misses.
That was just weird.
That was. I don't think the wind had anything to do with that one.
Seen better kicks than that on college game day.
That was ESPN last night, Joe Buck there. Even Bill Belichick.
Well, it's like my four-iron, Peyton.
So all kinds of missed field goals, a ton of penalties, and the Jets would lose. Aaron Rodgers did throw another Hail Mary, though, but the Jets fall to the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Major League Baseball, Mets beat the Dodgers. They're now tied at one game apiece. The Yankees beat the Guardians at game one of their ALCS.
Does that mean, like, we don't have that big of a problem in Green Bay?
Well, it should make you feel a little bit better.
Our guy has missed a few.
Right.
Nervous in, as you call him.
This is what he is. Yeah, I'm nervous watching him
yes,
kick.
Yes, aren't we?
My God.
Good snap, good hold. Kick is off the upright again.
At 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News, friend of the program, Lori Nichol, two-time sports writer of the year for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, on with us this morning. Can you see us on the live stream, Lori?
I can, yes. I've been laughing with you all morning.
Do you anything you notice about what Eric and I are wearing today?
Oh.
Now, Eric's
matching hoodie.
Eric's upset about it. I really don't care.
Right when I walked in this morning.
Yeah, I noticed that you were wearing a hoodie, which is not usual for you, Eric.
Yeah, and the one time I do it, Lori, he's got the same thing on.
Same color, olive and everything. This is literally my favorite thing in the closet. As you know, I've talked about, I really don't care about getting dressed.
And that's why I can't wear hoodies to work.
Well, do you want me to schedule it, or what am I supposed to do here, Lori?
You definitely have to communicate better. This is, you know, that's a big deal, for sure. But it brings out the color in your eyes.
My wife makes fun of me because I'll be like, I'll get dressed and, you know, we'll be going someplace and I'll see her with the same, you know, similar color on or something. I'm like, oh, come on. Now I got to change. She thinks I'm crazy.
No, that's cute for couples. It's actually really cute to be matching for couples. So good job, boys.
Well, we're a couple in one way or another. So
anyway.
I think you look great. Wanted to talk to you, Lori, because we've talked from time to time, and you maybe more than any other sports writer that I read regularly, you've really focused in on the mental health and mental state of these young athletes right now whom we watch on Sundays or what have you. And we had the situation with Romeo Doubs of the Green Bay Packers. As badly as that was handled initially, it seems it was handled very well after he initially skipped practice a couple of weeks and took that suspension. What's your read on where the Packers are at with him right now?
Well, a couple of things. They kind of, you know, had put a bubble around him to protect him a little bit. A couple of players came to his defense, and they did it. A couple of guys did it before the game, before his big two-touchdown game, which I think is really impressive. I don't think that's that unusual, though. I mean, we can go all the way back to the days of, like, Johnny Jolly when he was suspended for the team for issues like that. I don't know if you remember. And the guys rallied around him then, too. But I think what was really critical was watching Coach Matt LaFleur and how he handled the reconciliation, because he's managing this huge locker room of players and all the expectations that come with it, without really knowing what Romeo Doubs was upset about. And he's got to get everybody back together and on board to play the game. And he's the one who issued the suspension. And it's the second time in 10 months or so that he's issued a team-issued suspension, which is fairly rare. You know, NFL ones for substance abuse, stuff like that, or substance failure problems, that's one thing. But a team-issued suspension is still pretty unusual. So how Matt kind of tried to talk about it, but also not make it a big deal, not throw anybody under the bus, be honest about where he was standing with things. He was pretty impressive, I thought, on Wednesday when he handled those questions. So it was pretty good in a lot of ways.
I think one thing we forget, and I bring this up to Eric all the time, we as fans, we look at this and think it's the greatest job in the world, and I think it is in so many ways. At the same time, This guy, I mean, Dobbs is 24. He's in his third season. He's still a really young guy.
Yeah, kid.
And this is where he works. So we all have bad days at our work. We all have bad things. But, you know, we obviously watch these guys. We're fans of them. So everything is, you know, under the microscope.
And fans aren't always nice.
Right. So, I mean, but we forget sometimes these are young people at work.
Right. Well, and I wonder, I wanted to ask you guys this too. I'm kind of a really bad reporter in this way. I will not rush to judgment in the first 24 hours of anything. I will not make any opinion on anything. And if anything, if you learn about, if you watch this case, you shouldn't judge at all. We don't know the details. We don't know what was really upsetting him. Bill Huber did a really good job with his reporting for SI.com, and he mentioned that Dobbs was unhappy with his opportunities. But really, as good as that is to reveal that information, and it's probably why the Packers couldn't keep it, the issue private anymore and call it a personal matter, they had to go public, we still don't know exactly what the issue was. But it was obviously bad enough that he stayed away from practice for one and maybe was told to stay away for a second one or whatever. So we have to understand that with teams and any business situation, we don't know the whole story. We may never know. Dobbs has been very, very careful not to go there. He doesn't want to talk about it, whatever it is. He's done several lengthy interviews, and he's been very apologetic and contrite. Even his celebrations on the field were muted at best. So let's understand. So as a reporter, that's, I'm supposed to speculate all day, right? But I won't do it because we just don't know. And that's, you know, fire me, I guess.
Lori Nickel with us this morning. Next week, all three of us, we're going to wear the same thing.
Oh, yeah, we'll good.
I'll send you the memo.
Okay,
6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.